United we stand, divided we fall. That's what the Lord, you know, a lot of times I'm looking for a title, but I just got to look to Jesus and just start putting it down on paper and the title just pop out there. See, we live in the United States of America. United. I heard my pastor Jim, I didn't know, I've heard him many years, but he put a quote here. He shared something that he shared maybe 6 years ago of an interview with Morgan Freeman on 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace, I believe. And it was, I took his quote here because it's talking about unity and division. See, united we stand, divided we fall. That says a people, that says a nation. And the quote was here, because one of the definitions for devil is one who comes to bring division. Division. The devil, certain politicians, now this is, Jim quoted this, so I'm quoting my pastor here. The devil, certain politicians, parts of media, and individuals who are heavily invested in the division industry need to promote and maintain division based on any difference they can find. Division don't care what they do. They just hurt, hurt, hurt. Hurt people hurt other people. But healed people will heal others. They don't care any difference they can find, whether it be color, gender, religion, political views, or any other avenue. They just don't care. What? They're trying to sell their product. Division. Division can only be maintained by focusing on our differences. Well, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. He's not different. He don't change. No. He don't get out here and get hot and sweaty and change his message just because the air conditioner broke at church. No, he's still preaching. He might take his coat off. He might take his shoes off. You know, I went and, thank you, Reed, for keeping check up on our people. I went and visited Elaine and Frankie yesterday after I mowed the church, and it wasn't too hot. It was, you know, probably mid-80s yesterday. I was moving in a groove, grooving in and moving, and felt good. You know, the shade was out here. The grass is a little bit wet, but I got a mower that'll throw that grass out of there. It'll move, man. It's called the Hustler. It got its name right. It'll move. There's some you can get. You can upgrade and make them move faster. That might be my upgrade unit. What was I talking about? I went and visited Frank and Elaine. Talking about Jesus, you know, he just, whether he's sweating or whether he's just took a bath, he's laying hands on me. In fact, I may be half shaved. Again, I just got done mowing the yard. I am in my shorts, my hat. I don't even think I may be half shaved. Because, you know, it just grows. It grows here, but for some reason it won't grow up here. I can shave night and I guess I need to start. No, I don't want to shave my head like Dallas does, but there's something about shaving up here I just don't like. But anyway, I went and visited them just the way I was. And I did wipe off. I blew myself off, blew the grass off. But you know what? I walked in there and said, you know, didn't even call them. I know that's not proper sometimes. You need to call people, let them know you're coming. But you don't have to answer the door if I don't call you. Just don't. Be quiet. I won't bust my way in. But if you're there, if you open the door, I'll come in. Frankie was in his robe. His night robe. It wasn't a robe of righteousness. He has that on, robe of righteousness, because that's a spiritual robe. I ain't never seen Frankie in his robe, but that's all right. I walked in and said, hey, I just wanted to stop by. I got two cups of communion in my pocket. Just wanted to bless you today. I wanted to let you know we love you and you care for you. Gosh, 30, 45 minutes later, Elaine started preaching in there. So, but I said, you know, religion would say you need to go home, you need to shower, you need to shave, put your suit, put your clothes on, or just put your slacks on. Jesus said, why? What if they die before you get back? What's all this? It's nothing. It's Jesus went to some people. He laid hands on people, Wayne. He'd been sweating all day. Jesus was smelling. He wasn't smelling that good. He needed some right guard. He was righteous. Amen. He was. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? But he went and he laid hands and he worked all day and worked all night. And he blessed the people. So see, it's a hard issue. United we stand, divided we fall. Division always wants to separate you or say you're not good enough, separate you from what God called us to be. And see, that's not the church of Jesus Christ. That's not who we're going to be. We're going to be united and we're going to stand. Amen? And somebody remind me to read this little thing at the end. I got it there for a purpose. Amen? Division can only be maintained by focusing on all these differences in religion and all these things. But unity, say unity,
unity,
is achieved by focusing on what we have in common, the blessing. Jesus, God blessed us and he hasn't changed.
Amen.
I'm the problem if I don't get blessed. It's me, oh God, it's me. The best place to find brotherhood in spite of our differences is at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
Jim, I'm sorry, but I'm preaching your quote. I ain't apologizing for it no more. I'm preaching it. Jim believes and I believe that it's impossible to teach two sinners to love each other. You ain't going to do it. And it's also impossible for two believers, two true believers, to hate each other. True believers, true Christianity is not based on what I say. It's based on what God said. Because Jesus looking at Peter, when Peter said, Jesus, you can't go do that. Peter, Jesus, I'm sorry, you can't. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know the works of God. When Peter said, Lord, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to go suffer. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. See, division. See, the devil was trying to divide Jesus from his purpose. Ain't going to happen. Bad English, but good word. Not, ain't going to happen, devil. We, the United States of America, and until Jesus comes and takes the church off of this world, we're going to stand in unity in common with the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to preach anyway. We're not shutting our church down again. We're not shutting the door down again. I don't care what pestilence Jesus said is going to come. We're going to stand open because we are essential to the world.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then you've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, whether you come or you don't. Amen?
Right.
I got to do what God says do. There was people that gave their lives for this country because they believed in God and his principle.
Right.
Was bigger than a government. Amen. Bigger than the British government. Amen. Y'all got to know me. I studied a little bit because you know I flunked world history. But I've been reading and I've been finding out some things. Might have a bell. Praise the Lord. That's the victory bell, man. Y'all remember the victory bell? Jesus warned us about the devil's division plan. The devil's coming. God told us in the garden. Snake coming. Snake coming. Keep the hoe out, Adam. Keep the word. Guard this place, Adam. Don't let your guard down. What did Adam do? He let his heart. He gave his heart to Eve, which has a good heart, but he let his guard down. What? Because God's supposed to be his first love. Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
God's supposed to be his first love, and then the woman's right there, and they're together. But see, you got to keep God first.
Amen.
You keep God. You get that out. Division's coming. Division's coming. Death's coming.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about physical. I'm just talking about death, oppression, whatever. Darkness is coming. If you get God out of his rightful place. The center of your life. And Jesus warned us about the devil's plan in Matthew 24:7. It says, for nation shall rise against nation. That's ethnic groups. That's religion, race, color. That's differences of skin pigment. Chinese, Japanese. You know, I had to put on the thing, Caucasian. I didn't know what I was until they told me what I was. I didn't know what Caucasian. See, I had to learn who I was. But a lot of his stuff was lies. Somebody didn't tell me the truth. I was created by my creator, God. And he said nothing about Caucasian, Indian, Chinese. I know the Tower of Babel happened and the languages got separated. That's where it came in. But his anger was only for a moment. That separation was only for a moment. Come on, then Pentecost came back and God got our victory voice back. Through the Holy Ghost. Now I can pray in other tongues.
Amen.
Amen. All kind of languages. Why? We got to get some good news out there.
Yes.
The devil's plan has bled and set me free.
Amen.
The devil's plan, Jesus told us, nation's going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom.
Amen.
And there shall be famines. Oh, you got to do a Google on famine. You'll find a lot, I bet you. I didn't. Pestilence. COVID-19, COVID-20, variants. See, I don't care too much. You know, I'm sorry. I have lost my trust in the CDC.
Amen.
And a lot of the government. Why? Because I'm seeing some things that was false. I'm seeing corruption. But I have not lost my trust and faith in God.
Amen.
who moves upon people and puts people. And the Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the city rejoices. Amen. Yes. So I'm rejoicing now that the righteous are going to get where they need to be.
Amen.
I don't care. Now, I do care about what they believe. And I'm not going to vote for somebody that I don't believe they believe what I believe. I believe in pro-life. God first. Helping, loving people. Loving my country. Amen. But God's first. And everything else trickles down by what I believe, but what God believes. I believe what God says. I'm on his side. I don't want the earth to open up and pull me down like it did in the Old Testament. You got to choose who you're going to be on. The Lord's side or your side? I'm getting over here on God's side. Now, he's not bringing earthquakes anymore because he brought Jesus. But if you're not in with Jesus, them earthquakes are in your future. Them famines are in your future. Because you got to make a choice. Life or death. Blessing or cursing. See, the curse is still in the earth, but I'm going to be like the Israelites. They're going to be light when there's darkness in their camp. There's going to be light.
Amen.
When they don't have Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'm having Kentucky Fried Chicken.
All right.
And my bucket's going to always be full. Come on. Really, I like, something's happened with the kernel. Something's happened with the recipe. We need to pray. Because I don't know. There's just something about the recipe. It don't seem like it tastes like it used to. Maybe it's me. But I'm kind of like, I'm pulled more to the Bojangles side now, Reed. But I'll keep every so often going to the KFC because that was in my childhood, man. I saw that. I was taken to the KFC. That was the Colonel. Colonel's chicken, fried chicken. And it's good. But something's happened. Got to pray there. But now my wife's mama can cook some fried chicken in an old cast iron skillet. She's in heaven now, so I miss her recipe too. Okay, Reed. Come on, fried chicken in the skillet pan. Come on. Cholesterol and all. Don't. Amen. There's times that we can fast and pray, and there's times we can eat. Amen. We're talking about we're going to eat some good stuff. God has blessed the United States of America.
Yes.
To be a blessing.
Yes.
To be a blessing. Psalms 33:12 says, blessed, happy is the nation whose God. This is what the Lord put in my heart. I shared it with Miss Tammy last Sunday as we was eating at SoCo. That's one of them ethnic groups, Japanese. See, I can sit down and eat with the Japanese. I can eat what they cook. Why? Because I bless it and sanctify it in the name of Jesus. And and I've been there too. Their food's good. Now, there's probably people that's been on the mission trip. There's probably some food out there I'd have to really pray about before I eat. It's maybe still moving a little bit. But you just got to believe, just got to trust the Lord. If Pastor Bob was here, he could tell some things, couldn't he, Vivian? Vivian, you might have to make a book of some those little journeys that Pastor Bob did here on this earth. It'll bless us, amen. But Psalms 33:12 says, blessed, happy is the nations whose God is the Lord, Jehovah.
Amen.
He's the one self-sufficient, eternal God. In three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's whose nation is blessed if we keep him our Lord. Not the government, not all that other stuff, but keep him first. Now, I'm responsible for me doing that. You're not responsible for your neighbor doing that, but you are accountable to your neighbor to tell them about this God you serve. And then it's up to them. Well, they believe I've done that. I seen there were some problems in a relationship with my neighbor, with their marriage, and I told them about the Lord before I knew there was a problem. And I told them about this God I serve, and I invited them to church, and I gave them some CDs and DVDs, but now what? It's up to them. They have a choice. Freedom is a choice. Serving Jesus is a choice. It's the best choice you'll ever make.
Yes.
Amen. It's the best.
Yes.
Blessed and happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the people whom he has chosen. Anybody been watching The Chosen? God chose 12 to follow him. And then he appointed 70. And then later on, he called me. Amen. He called me from the grave. When God called Jesus out of the grave, he called me out of the grave. Because, see, I'm in Jesus. I'm in Christ. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. I was still in him. See, God has all men. It's his will that all of his creation cry out to their creator.
Amen.
But there's some in hell right now that didn't. They didn't. They were deceived by the lie, by the deception, by the devil, by division, divided them from God's plan. And God's not happy with that. Blessed and happy is the God is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance, his own possession. Marie, he called you and your family before the foundation of the world. But he still gave you the choice. He chose all men, but he gave Judas the choice. Judas decided to betray Jesus. Jesus didn't make that choice for him. God knew what the choice he would make. He loved him. God knew what the choice he would make, but he gave him the choice, the free will to make it. Let's look in Ephesians, if you're turning with your Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, talking about God has blessed the United States of America to be a blessing. United we stand, divided we fall. You know, a lot of times you'll read something, but you stop reading after God says something else. You need to get the context of what God says sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Reed, would you bring me a Kleenex up there? Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Thank you, set it right there. I'm just hung up on this word blessed. Not depressed, blessed. You remember the tags they used to make on the cars? I'm too blessed to be stressed. Remember some of those tags? Those are good tags. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said before he left this earth, said, I'm going to my God and your God and my Father and your Father. Jesus submitted to his Father too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where are they? In heavenly places, in Christ. They're not lost. They're in Christ. All the blessings of Abraham are still in Christ. They're in the Word. They're in the truth. According as he has chosen us in him, it's not by my works, it's by my faith in his works. God chose me before the foundations of the world to be his son, to come and give my life to Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, God gave me that choice, gave me the free choice. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The United States of America is blessed because, like Tammy talked about, our founding fathers took a stand for the freedoms. And that's all ethnic colors. When I say fathers, it ain't a Caucasian father. It ain't a Japanese. It's all fathers. Amen? Now, we're talking about the United States of America. We're talking about our American forefathers, the ones that came on the United States, which are now the United States of America, put their foot here, possessed this land for what? For freedom. Freedom from tyranny. The United States is blessed because of our founding fathers who stood for those freedoms that were endowed to them by God before they were even born. And in doing so, they fled the tyranny. I had to look that word up. You know why? Because I want to make sure I told you what it was. It ain't good. Tyranny, cruel, unreasonable, arbitrary use of power or control. They fled because that's what Britain was doing to them, oppressing them. Called bondage. I wish I'd like to have Harold and Peggy Cagle here. I'd let them sing that song. We got no more bondage. No more bondage. I don't know the rest of it. It talks about liberty. See, because we got set free, the bondage of sin. I don't care. Anybody born on this earth, you're in bondage. Slavery. You can say slavery. Bondage to sin. To sin. But that ain't the end of the story. Our forefathers fled this tyranny of Great Britain to follow the dreams, their dreams, that God Almighty put in their hearts. But they had to take a stand. They had to submit to God, submit to that dream, that vision, and resist Great Britain, resist the devil, and leave. They had to leave. It's like Abraham. They had to get out from their country, from Great Britain. They didn't know where they were going, but the winds of the Holy Ghost blew them right here. Over 245 years ago, this nation was born out of freedom. Freedom from tyranny, oppression, bondage. And this nation is still free. I said it's still free. The blood was shed. Their blood was shed for freedom. But the Lamb's blood was shed for our freedom. Before it was even physical blood, Terry, the Lamb was slain. Spiritual blessings in heavenly Christ. In spiritual, there it is, right there. That was before this world was even framed. God had a plan. The best plan. The plan of redemption. Amen. But we're still free, and this nation is still free, because 56 brave men, and there was a woman that signed at the bottom of that declaration. She printed the declaration, so there's a woman on there too. These 56 signers signed and issued this Declaration of Independence. And we're celebrating today, but it was actually the resolution took place on July the 2nd. So y'all say, come on, Pastor, you know some history now. 2 days prior, 3 days he was in the ground. But then on the third day, that stone got rolled away. Amen. See, the seed got planted. The victory seed was planted, but the devil didn't know he was coming up. Because the Bible said if they knew they had crucified the Lord of glory, he wouldn't have done it. See, the devil ain't that smart. See, he overplays his hands a lot of time. And he overplayed his hand when he kept oppressing those Christians that would be Christians over here in Great Britain. They said, we're getting out of here. We ain't got to live by your rules no more. Because it's taxation without representation. And it was more than that. There was like 25, 30 things that they were fleeing from. See, they didn't close their eyes to what was happening. They opened their spiritual eyes and said, that's enough is enough. Popeye, get the spinach can out. It's time to whoop up on the devil. That's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Pop, muscles come out. Here come Jesus. Here come the United States of America. War is on. The battle is on. Amen. The battle is on. Decree a thing, declare a thing. That's what our Declaration of Independence, it was signers that agreed to what we just said here. We going into a covenant, and we ain't coming out if it cost us our life, and it did. There's a lot of them. You go back, they gave their money, they gave everything they had, and they lost their lives for it. This freedom that we get to have, and it's not, and thank God, and one of the guys saw the vision of hot dogs, and we ought to have parades because he saw something in the future. He saw this freedom. It ought to be celebrated. But where did it come from? It came from God. It came from blood that had to be shed to fight people that's possessed of the devil. Amen. That's what it's all about. And on July 4, 1776, the 13 back then American colonies severed their political connections with Great Britain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for sending these men that stood. And the Declaration summarized the colonists' motivations for seeking independence. I'm just going to summarize the Declaration of Independence. You know, I guess I don't know if I had to pass this in high school. I don't remember if I had to recite or not. I probably did, but. You see where it didn't have no value in my life? Because what? God wasn't in my life. It was all about me, Reed. Everything I did was all about me and what I wanted, and I didn't even know my history. I just knew I'm just living for the moment, just living for the moment. Knowing my moment's going, at any moment, Jesus could call, and I wouldn't have heard the call. But he loved me. Jesus suffered and hung on that cross because he saw me hearing the gospel. And not just hearing it, but doing it. Amen. Yes, Lord, here I am. That's all I knew to say. So here's a brief summary of the Declaration that we're celebrating today over 245 years ago. It was written by Thomas Jefferson and adopted by the Second Continental Congress. States the reason the British colonies of North America sought independence in July of 1776. The Declaration opens with a preamble. Wayne was up there. That's a preamble. You could probably play this thing, Wayne. And I tell you what, the birthday songs, they sound a lot better than just Reed singing solo now. Now, Reed, I'm not talking about just singing. I'm just talking about that music is making your voice. You're harmonizing. You're uniting with the musician now, and it sounded good, Tammy. They sounding good up here with the happy birthday song. Y'all doing good. And you know, it's your anniversary this month. Happy anniversary to me. Especially me. I was wanting you to say me. Did you? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Just want the people to know out there, our minister of music, him and his wife are celebrating how many years?
Six.
Six? All right. 6 years. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the declaration opens with a preamble describing the document's necessity and explaining why the colonies have overthrown their ruler and chosen to take their place as a separate nation in the world. All men are created equal, and there are certain unalienable rights that governments should never violate. These rights include the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when a government fails to protect those rights, it is not only the right, but also the duty of the people to overthrow that government. In its place, the people should establish a government that is designed to protect those rights of the individuals. Amen. Governments are rarely overthrown. We just don't do this every night. We don't do this every day. Governments are very rarely overthrown and should not be overthrown for trivial reasons. In this case, a long history of abuses has led the colonists to overthrow a tyrannical, a cruel government that is taxing the people without even representing them. And the king of Great Britain, George III, is guilty of 27 specific abuses. The king interfered with the colonists' right to self-govern and for a fair judicial system. Acting with Parliament, the king also instituted legislation that affected the colonies without their consent, doing it underneath the table. This legislation levied taxes on the colonists, and it also required them to quarter British soldiers, remove their right to trial by jury. In other words, you're guilty before proven innocent. And prevented them from trading freely. Additionally, the king and parliament are guilty of outright destruction of American life and property by their refusal to protect the colony's borders. Borders. Does that say anything? Borders. Their confiscation of America's ships at sea and their intent to hire foreign mercenaries to fight against the colonists. Sound like the devil, don't it? And the colonial governments tried to reach a peaceful reconciliation. They tried peace. Jesus said, when you enter the city, seek peace of that city. Seek peace of that house. Seek that peace first, right? But Jesus said, if your peace goes out and comes back, what did he say? I ain't take your shoes off for no reason. Shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next house. Go to the next continent. I'll start. My God, what did God tell Abraham? No, I'm sorry. What did God tell Moses? Get out of the way, Moses. Let me just consume this nation and I'll make another nation of you. Remember that? That his anger was but for a moment. Thank God Moses said, no, God, don't do that. Don't do that. He reminded them, these are your people. These are your people. If you bring them out here with your mighty hand, you brought them out here, Lord. If you're just going to destroy them, you know what they're going to say about you, Jesus, God? See, Moses, that's God's voice and that's God's grace in Moses speaking to the God, to our Creator. You know what that did? That pleased God. He said, look at my boy. Don't wipe him out, God. See, they said, we're getting out of here, right? Why? Because this ain't right. You know when something, I know when I was a sinner, I knew when I was doing stuff it wasn't right. Why? Because I'd been taught not to do it that way. And they knew this was wrong and they left looking for that place. And the Bible says, anywhere you put the sole of your foot, God has given you that place for a possession. Amen. You guard it. You protect it. You bring the peace to that place. Amen. Peace. And sometimes that peace, war has to happen to bring the peace of that land, to fight for it. Amen. Adam was supposed to fight for it with his word. God didn't say that. I done got happy now. I done lost my place. I done got independence in this declaration. I done got free. Thank you, Jesus. And there was many peaceful attempts. You ever had a fight with your wife? Come on now, I might have to cast some lying devils out here. The Bible, I've had some fights with my wife until I found in Proverbs it says, if you stir up strife in that, with your wife, it'd be better if you sit up on the corner of a house by yourself and get that woman upset. That's what the Bible says. If you want something to get broad, you just need to hush. Amen. I don't care if you're right, Reed. Just say, bless her, Lord. See, that's all you need to do. Even if she's wrong, bless her, Lord. Amen. Keep the peace. And after many peaceful attempts, the colonists have no choice but to declare independence from this oppression. And that's what they did. And this declaration says the new nation will be called the United States of America. This is our nation. This is my nation. And will have no further connections with Great Britain. The new government will reserve the right to levy war, to make peace, make alliances with foreign nations, conduct trade, and do anything. Do. And there's a lot more of the Bill of Rights and all that stuff you need to study because, see, that's your rights. Now, we know we serve Jesus and he's our government. He's going to really set everything right one of these days. We're going to rule and reign with him when his government, when he comes back to this earth. And it's going to be a righteous government. But until then, we got to do what the word tells us to do. Amen. The laws of the land written in the word. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Don't look at the new, don't look at the TV to make your decision about your nation. The Bible says, blessed is the nation. God chose this nation. He put people here to fight for it, for the freedoms that we have, to come to this church freely and worship God. You can't do that in China as good. You can't do that in communist Russia that good. I ain't never been there, but I know people that's there. They tell you what you're going to do. They tell you how you're going to worship. They tell you the songs you're going to sing. We ain't singing them songs here. Amen. Amen. Come on. United we stand. We're not falling. We're going to sing the songs of the... We're going to sing them new songs. Them spiritual songs. Amen. We got a cloud of witnesses singing. Sing on, brother. Ephesians 1, 11 through 13. Talking about how blessed this nation is because of God. Now, Ephesians, Paul's writing this letter to the church, to the victorious church, not the old wimpy church. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Remember them trash bags? My wife, I need to get me some Hefty because I tell you what, we've had watermelon the last 2 days. See, that's one of my, and I need to, my sons need to help me here. But I've been taking out the trash for 50 years now because mama told me to take out trash. I took it out. I'm 55. I get in there in that trash can. There's stuff, it's like, I need to get me a trash compactor because my wife takes it and she pushes, packs that thing down. And then I come in there and I'm like, Lord Jesus. They'll make hefty bags because I usually get the more value priced bags. And I start trying to yank that trash can. It's like, lay hands on that trash bag because something's going to give, something's going to rip. And I say, honey, I said, don't throw the rinds in the trash bag. Call me. I'll take them and I'll throw them out here in the yard. Because them rinds are heavy and they got a lot of water in them. And then you got juices flowing. And they ain't pretty sight. God's not coming back for a wimpy church. He's coming back for a glorious church. A hefty church. Full of the glory of God, man. Operating in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Letting the Holy Ghost fill you with his presence and his power. Amen. Standing for righteousness, standing for freedom, the church of Jesus Christ. Stand up if you believe in the God of freedom. Somebody give him praise. Amen. Stand up. Ephesians 1, 11 through 13, it says, in Paul talking here, says, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his own counsel. Talking about Jesus here. The counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first what? Trusted. Trusted in Christ. Or you could say in God. In whom you also trusted. Twice. I've heard that word trusted there. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. lot of people don't want to hear that word. Why? Because you got to do something. Heard the truth. They trusted the truth. The gospel of your salvation. The truth is the foundation of the gospel. Not what? Not my truth. The truth. Jesus Christ and Him crucified for my sin. That's the truth. Amen? And He died for all men. For once He died that we could receive an inheritance of everlasting life. Free from sin, free from bondage. In whom also after that you believe, you got to believe in whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You got to believe in Him to be free. You got to believe in Jesus to be free. You don't have to confess your sins to be free. Jesus didn't say confess your sins. He says if you'll confess me before the Father. Jesus said if you believe in me, you shall be saved. Nothing wrong with confessing your sin. Jesus goes on to say when you sin, because He knows you're going to mess up again. But it ain't rejecting. I'm not rejecting Jesus. See, there's all kind of sins, but there's one sin that'll keep you from heaven. That's rejecting the door. That's Jesus. And once you receive Him, He took care of the sin problem and He sealed you. You know, we have a seal of the United States of America. Once they declare something, they put a seal on it. We agree to this. Well, when you got born again, the Holy Ghost sealed you until the day of redemption. Amen. And can't no devil in hell steal your salvation. Amen. You've been sealed. I said, you've been sealed. Yes. You've been preserved until the day that when I see Him face to face, He gonna, oh man, we're gonna be one unit then. We're gonna be glorified. See, but my spirit's been sealed. My body's being concealed. Amen. In other words, it's being preserved until the day of redemption when it's gonna be changed too. See, that's why sickness, that ain't a part of your ingredients into preservation. Amen. You're not sealed with sickness. You're sealed with righteousness. You're sealed with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing sick in Jesus. There's nothing poor in Jesus. There's nothing evil in Jesus, evil in God. Amen? You remember Mama making those preservatives? She put some things in there, and then she put that seraphim wax on it. Did I say that right? Seraphim wax? Come on, say, help me, ladies. I just watched. I was a little old boy. I love blackberry preserves. Oh, man. They make that old porcelain pot that start bubbling up and all those little foams. You see them at the beach. You know, the foam that comes in the pan, and when it cools, it gets you. Well, man, this is blackberry sugar foam. And it settles on the sides of that pan, and when it cools, it gets you all sticky. And Mama give me the pot. I clean it up before it goes into the sink. It ain't good to do all that all your life. Now, amen. That's pure sugar and blackberry on the side of that pot. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Banana pudding the same way. That old banana pudding, that stuff, that good old sugary stuff. And I get to the bottom of the pot. You know where the bottom of the pot, it all kind of sticks together. That's the good stuff. There used to be some blackberries behind this church. There might be a few out there, but I've been eating them. I'm not preserving them. I'm not canning them. I'm eating them now. Why? Because it don't take long. They can be plump and juicy one day. And then I come back the next day to mow, and they all dried up and shriveled. What's your excuse? God's got good things for you. Don't you let the devil, you get your harvest. You go out there and get it. Don't let it just shrivel up and die. See, the devil don't want you to have your blessing. He don't want you to have the blessing of the Lord. It ain't his. It ain't his to give. And it ain't his. He can't take it from you. Come on, the devil can't bless you with nothing. Thank you, Jesus. We trusted. I said we trusted. Here's some further evidence of the Lord's fingerprint on this blessed nation, the United States of America. After reading Ephesians here, we can see a common thread of our foundation of freedom. It's embodied in the word trust. That's the Old Testament. Trust in the Lord and you shall do good. Now in the New Testament, it's more have faith in God. Trust in God. They're the same. They're interchangeable. Have the faith, Mark 11. Have faith of God. Not your faith, it's His faith. He gave it to every man. Can anybody tell me the motto of the United States of America? I studied last night. See, y'all didn't study. Motto, come on, Jim. Nate, come on, Jim. Come on, I'm going to pull it out of you. Motto. He's thinking. Where's my hourglass? In God we trust. All right. Praise the Lord. Y'all not getting graded, you know that. Sharon, way to go. You got check from the teacher. Check, check. Remember the hundreds? Check, check. That's X. That's bonus. In God we trust. That's our motto. It's the official motto of the United States of America and the U.S. state of Florida. It was adopted by the U.S. Congress in 1956. I wasn't even born yet. I was 10 years prior. It replaced, now y'all give me some grace here for Latin. Anybody speak Latin in here fluently? Say that again. E plurimus unum. I can say it in tongues. I can speak it in tongues. That's Latin for in God we trust. Well, no. Yeah, I'm sorry. From many one or out of one many.
Yeah.
That's M-A-N-Y, not many.
We were many and then we all got an agreement. We got united in one.
Praise God. See, somebody, Jim's preached this message before. He knows that history. Say that again. E plurimus.
E pluribus.
E plurimus. Which is Latin for out of many, one. One out of many, or one from many. It's a traditional motto of the United States of America. And you just remember, in God we trust now. And it appears on the Great Seal. You see this eagle down here? He's got things in his feet. He had a beak. He had that e plurimus unum in his beak to wear, Jim, to his... I think it's just in his beak. There are symbols that represent the United States of America. Our mottos, our symbols. I'm going to say this, I'm going to preach this one day. Faith isn't caught, faith is taught. You don't catch faith. You teach faith and you get it. Paul said, looking at Timothy, I perceive that same faith that was in your grandmother Eunice, I see it, it's in you. Why? Eunice taught him faith. He didn't catch it just because, you don't come to church and just get saved because somebody besides you saved. How do you get saved? You hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Timothy heard faith from his grandma Eunice. She set him down and said, now, young Timothy, put your hands like this and you pray and bless your food before you eat it. I've done that to my kids. Teach them. And then next thing you know, generations. They're teaching their kids. They're saying what God says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When he looked at Abraham, God said, I know Abraham. Why did he pick Abraham? He says, I know Abraham. He'll teach his children. Perpetual seed. See, God don't waste no time. Come on. He ain't got time to waste. There's no time to God. But he had a plan, Randy. He's got to get Jesus into this earth because people are dying out here. They got to get Jesus into this earth. And I know Abraham. He'll teach what I tell him. He'll teach his kids. Now, it's up to them kids to listen. Amen. It's not up. It ain't. Wayne, you know this. You could teach the rest of this. You go teach them kids, but you can't just, like you see, you can't cut their head off and pour it down in there. You just got to say it. And hopefully, yeah, they might pass the test, but do they know their teacher? Do they know Wayne? See, because Wayne's believing what he's teaching. Do you? Do I? Do I believe that Declaration of Independence? If I do, I'll stand up, I'll die for it. Why? Because blood was shed. Jesus shed his blood so we can have freedom. Freedom from the devil. Freedom from evil. Freedom from sickness, disease, poverty. You name it. Jesus gave you his name. Freedom. It's a choice. And all these symbols. And I like there's another symbol. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Anuit septus sequiptus. Latin for he approves the undertaking. These are symbols right here with our flag and with the and with the eagle and everything. The Lord would tell them to do something, they'd do it. Why? To remember. You remember the children of Israel, when they would, the Lord would tell them to do something, they'd do it. He said, now put up a remembrance. Make a memorial. Put some rocks here. 12 stones for the tribe. Put a rock here. Remember how you walked off on dry land. Remember the Lord your God. For it's he that gives you the power to get wealth, to stay free. And they believed when they signed this declaration. Here's some symbols right here. Man, one out of many. In God we trust. We sign this because we trust the Lord. What he said here. Man, we're getting ready to give all of our substance. We believe in what we're doing here. And they signed it. And it says, "What Lord, what we agreed on here, it's going to be undertaken. It's going to happen." And then There's another, Novus Ordum Seclorum is Latin for the new order of ages. In other words, for this new order that they're putting down. Lord, in God, and let me just say it the way I wrote it. That'd be good, wouldn't it? You want me to translate what I just jabbered right there? It says, we put Americans, we put our trust in one God that he approves this undertaking, this freedom for our new order of age. This was the birth of our freedom of the United States of America. We trust God. If we do what God says, we're going to be blessed. And not only we will be blessed, but our children's children will be blessed. Just a little bit of history, and I'm closing up. I'm wrapping this thing up. It says the 13 letters of E plumimus unum, makes it useful symbolic of the 13 original states. That flag has 13 stripes. Represents the 13 original colonies on the U.S. flag. I just want to talk briefly about our flag here. The 50 stars, and Rowan and Dallas both have a flag hanging on their wall, and I just, when I see it, I think of freedom. I think of liberty. I thank God that I'm blessed in this nation, because there's other children that wake up to rockets firing. They wake up in their belly, they're hungry. And God has called us to be a blessing to them, to feed the hungry, to help the people, to bring them the message of hope. And our great flag, the 50 stars on the flag represent the 50 states of the United States of America. And the 13 stripes represented the 13 British colonies that declared independence from the kingdom of Great Britain. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom. Jesus said it was going to come. And I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to put your foot on a nation where you're going to stand and you're going to be able to preach the gospel. You're going to be able to help people. And we became, and it became, the first states in the United States. Our flag. The symbolism of the colors red, white, and blue. Now this was drawn from heraldry. In other words, they can't just say this is specifically what they mean. But from the herald, it was not originally intended to apply to the flag. But Charles Thompson, Secretary of the Continental Congress, discussing the proposed U.S. seal, gave symbolic meanings for the colors in the seal drawn from the heraldry, signifying purity and innocence. That's white. Purity and innocence. And the red represents hardness and valor. And the blue signifies vigilance and perseverance and justice. Remember, life, liberty, and justice for all. And over time, that explanation came to be associated with the American flag. I like, and I'm not subject to one president or another, but I like the quote that President Reagan said. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan gave his own interpretation, saying, "The colors of our flag signify the qualities of the human spirit we Americans cherish. Red for courage and ready to sacrifice, white for pure intentions and high ideals, and blue for the vigilance and justice." Blessed is the United States of America, whose God is the Lord, and whom people he has chosen for his own inheritance. And I'll close with this scripture, Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. It says, by one man, Adam, offense and death reigned by one. Through Adam's transgression, sin hit this earth, hit mankind, and it went rampant throughout the whole earth. Much more, say much more. They which have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. One for the many. Out of many, one. United through faith in Christ Jesus, we stand. Let this freedom ring throughout our land. You hear that? United through the United States of America. How do we stay united? Through faith in Christ, we stand. Let this freedom ring, that freedom ring, throughout our land. To God be the glory. Amen. 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 That's how I finish this message. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. for the things he has done. Come on. By his grace he has saved us. He has raised us. To God be the glory for the things he has done. He gets all the glory. Can you say amen? Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you, Lord, for 245 years, Lord. This nation is living long, living strong. Thank you, Reed. I got to read what I said I was going to read. Thank you. The book again. I'll close with this, my second closing. Open up the book again. Now, y'all love me after I say this, won't you? I really didn't say this. Linda Hansen from Life Christian University gave these out to us for our graduation dinner, lunch dinner. It says, it's time for the sleeping church to wake up. Stand up for truth. Expose the enemy. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. The battle is not between flesh and blood, but between good and evil. We must rise above. Let's stand as one. I knew I should read this today. What? Out of men, let's stand as one. Let's stand. Come on, let's stand. We're standing as one today. This is a spiritual battle we're fighting right today. Because we were unified in Christ. I tell you what, the devil, he's fleeing right now. He's running in terror from 757 Harris Street. Amen. I tell you what, when the church prayed, a lot of times we say the first church, the new church. Well, you know, we are the church. One time they prayed, the ground was shaking, the building was shaking, and it didn't crumble down and fall. The place was shaking because God was pleased with their faith. Amen. This battle is not between flesh and blood, but between good and evil. We must rise above. Let's stand as one and get this done. The battle is real, but the war is already won. Hold steadfast, warriors. Have faith and pray. Yes. Stop the enemy now from destroying the USA. Amen. You tell me God don't put something together? You don't, he loves the USA, but he loves every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. Amen. And he has started a work that was begun before the foundation was even formed. Amen. And God, Jesus said it's finished. Amen. He sees the end from the beginning. So Father, we just thank you right now. You've called us, Lord, to preach the word of faith, to get people to the world, Lord, to take this faith, to take this voice of victory to the world, to prepare a people ready for your return. So, Father, we just thank you right now. If you're here in this place, if you're listening, there's a lot of twos I mentioned. There's a lot of twos going on today. 245 years ago, this nation was born. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave. And I say today, there's another two. Say yes to Jesus today. And let your battle be over. Let your battle be over. Trust in this Savior, this risen Savior. Don't delay. You don't know the price that was paid. But it was paid not by what you've done, but by what our great Father done, our Father in heaven. And he says it's finished. Come home. Get out of the darkness. Let the sun of righteousness arise in you through faith in Christ Jesus. You don't have to confess your sin. You put your faith in Jesus and tell him you are done living this life without him. And say, Lord, I believe that you are God. And when you believe and put your faith in Jesus, he takes all those sins away. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. That's what you need to confess. And don't focus on the sin. Focus on the new man that's within. The new creation that's been made in Christ Jesus. And he says, once you get born again, and when you do sin again, just confess it to me. Because it's already been paid for. That's the battle. That's the battle that's been fought for us. Amen. So Father, we just thank you right now. And if anybody in this place needs prayer, we are united today, knowing that God has the answer. If you need personal prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. Don't leave this place in bondage, any kind of bondage. We'll be glad to pray with you. Father, we thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak blessing. Blessed is the nation. Blessed is this nation whose God is the Lord. And Father, we pray for the nations of this world. All the leaders right now, Lord, that are bringing destruction across the land, that are oppressing your people, Lord, we just pray right now for their salvation. Lord, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened to Jesus, the truth, the way, and the life. And Lord, we pray for the peace of those cities right now, Lord. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, for protecting your people through all these attacks, Father God. And we thank you, Jesus, for your soon and coming return, for the rapture of the church, but also for your second coming, Lord. We pray for all those who are in the valley of decision right now, Lord. Let them cry out to you. Let them put faith in their Savior. Let them be free today, Lord. Let them be free from the shackles that hold them down. Let them be free. We call them free in Jesus' name. Amen.